Welcome to the Ask Zach Show. I'm your host, Zach Childs. I've spent the last 30 years working in the music industry here in Nashville, Tennessee, during which I've done everything from touring with major artists like Brad Paisley and Carrie Underwood to playing the nastiest dive bars or even the occasional wedding. This show is all about barreling down the rabbit hole on all things guitar and the music we love. We will cover the legendary players, gear insights, and even some interviews along the way. I hope you enjoy. To support the show, follow the links in the description to find out about my Patreon page. Or go to my store at AskZach.com to pick up a coffee mug or t-shirt. Now, let's dive in. Hello, friends, and welcome to Ask Zach. Today, we're going to take a field trip down to Danocaster HQ. And this started out as kind of a simple kind of run-through on this T-style build that Dan did for me. And it ended up being so much more than that. It ended up being just a gold mine of really great information on things that help a Telecaster-style guitar sound better and feel better. We talk about stiffness and the things that affect that, and just certain things that he does for tone. And it really ended up being kind of a gold mine of wonderful information that Dan was kind enough to share with us. So I need to thank Dan for doing that. Also, as always, I'm very grateful for my Patreon supporters because they are what keeps the show going. So thanks to Dan, thanks to my Patreon supporters, and I hope you enjoy. Also, I did a little playing portion where I go through the three different pickup settings on this guitar just so you could hear it, so I wouldn't get some complaints from guys that don't like it when I talk about tone and don't give an example, which I completely get that. So enjoy. Number of years ago, Dan Strain here. Say hello.
Hello.
He found a 57 Esquire for me, and I was wondering where I was going to get the money, and he said, well, sell your Danocasters and I'll build you another one someday. So the day finally arrived, and we're going to do a little walkthrough on this T-style build that Dan did. And we're going to talk about the color and the pickups and everything on it, and some of Dan's philosophies on Telecasters and builds and
is
hardware.
Right?
Yeah, we're gonna get all your secrets.
Let's see how that goes.
Yeah, we're gonna see how that goes.
Okay.
And a note to your nice shirt that says everything is terrible.
That's sometimes that's the way it is.
All right. So over this summer, or the summer of 2023, we did an episode here at Dan's lab, and we looked at one of his favorite books, and it was this Galaxy of Strats book, and this specific picture right here really inspired me, and this kind of dark red here, that's called Dakota Red here, but that's lighter, but then here you can see this Dakota Red, which is darker, and we're kind of calling that Duco Red, because if we look in the Telecaster,
this is where I first saw it.
So if you look at the Telecaster book, you know, of course, and you can tell on both these that Dan has worn them out because
falling apart.
Yes, he uses those for color references and stuff. But so those were kind of the inspirations for this color. So it's kind of a deep red, not Fiesta, not standard Dakota. It's kind of a
primary red, you know?
Yeah.
Dakota's darker. Fiesta's got some orange in it. It's just sort of like red.
Yeah.
Stop sign, not quite stop sign red, but just fundamental red.
So let's talk about, one thing. What are your thoughts on the whole, like, and I don't mean from being period correct, mm-hmm. but talk about tuners and string trees. And a lot of people, especially years ago, didn't really think as much about, you know, using Clouson machine heads. But I remember you buying like old maple cap tellies that had been, you know, like shallers have been put on there and stuff. And you would immediately, you know, get conversion bushings. And
I mean, part of it's just the way they look. I mean, I'm kind of a vintage guy, you know, and I just like the way a standard Clouson look. I don't know if they really sound any different. Well, I'm not sure what you're asking, really.
Well, I mean, it certainly affects the weight of the...
I mean, they're light, they're good. Clouson makes a repro right now, which is available out there. These are actually made by All Parts, and they're a Clouson style, so there's no markings on them, you know? But they're really reliable, and they've kind of been my favorite. If I was making my own, you know, I mean, I use them on my own guitars all the time, so that's like my favorite. But they're Clouson style, they're light, they're a higher ratio, so, it's easier to just kind of fine tune things. They really hold their tuning good. Trees, you know, they're different. I like this, you know, there's adding a second tree or the placement of the tree, can make a difference in how it feels, like the tension of it and how tight it feels or how loose it feels. And I like the butterfly tree in this placement, which is my favorite. You know, I think they did that in 55 is about when it started. And so it's appropriate for a guitar like this, but I just like the way it feels when you go up higher. It maybe makes it a little bit slinkier. This functions, I think they did it for a function reason. It's creates a little bit more tension, so it keeps the string where it's supposed to be. And I don't really care for double string trees. I kind of like the lack of a tree. It makes it a little bit slinkier, maybe, you know? So this is absolutely my preference, is a 55 or later style with Clouson tuners and a single butterfly tree placed, you know, right by the A there, the A tuner.
And what about the use of the spacer?
You know, a lot of people say they don't even feel the difference of the guide that much, of the string tree that much. But the spacer, I use a plastic one that I just kind of age. I mean, if you look at them, where are they here? If you look at them, they're all yellowed. You know, I think that they often used metal ones. I think metal is probably more correct. I'm not really sure.
But the spacer changes
the tension
pressure.
Yeah. And so I use a spacer, and these little plastic ones I use are a little bit higher, and they just create less pressure. You know, I like a slinkier feel. I mean, that was the whole reason I did a deeper neck pocket. So that's kind of what I do. It's you can use no spacer and it makes it a little bit tighter. And it does function. The function of a tree, you know, it actually creates more downward pressure the lower it is. So, you know, but I haven't had a problem with this higher one. I like the way it feels. So that's that. Get this out here.
Yeah. So one of the things you told me when I was, when we were talking about this guitar, when you mm-hmm. you finished it, you said that this was the second neck you'd put on the guitar. So tell me about swapping necks on guitars.
You know, it's a bit of a hassle. I don't do it a lot. I probably used to do it more. I've kind of figured out what goes better with what. But when we first did this guitar, we knew that you wanted this particular set of pickups. And this is a body that I had painted for some time. We let it cure for months. So I didn't really want to swap bodies, and I have found that really the tone often changes. The tone really follows the neck probably more than anything. So we put an original neck on here, and it sounded and played good. It was just dark, terms are relative. Some people think it was fatter and fuller, but knowing that you were sort of a traditional country guy, we were looking for twang. We didn't want it thin. But you were looking for liveliness and triangular springiness, you know, out of it. So I had made up three necks. This is a 92 soft V, which is based on, I have a 88 V neck, which has been one of my most popular necks. But when we did your Esquire, you were like, I wish it was a little bit bigger. So we actually did a 92 at your request. And now it's a neck that I just kind of have in my rotation. Yeah. And so I did a couple of them. And so I tried another one, put it on, and immediately, you know, it's a little bit of a hassle because you have to have, you know, you have to cut another nut and get the tuners and get the whole thing set up. But when you have those done, you can swap a little bit, you know, and because the neck pockets are pretty precise, it's often just, you can just stick it on there and it's pretty close, you know, right off the bat. And the second neck was definitely immediately the guitar just sort of sprung to life in a new way. It was, like we said, stringier and clearer and still kind of fat and full, had this body to it that was really nice, but definitely had a added twang and added sort of stingy top end, you know, but with weight, if that makes any sense. And it's pretty surprising when nothing else has changed except for the neck and you're like, that made a pretty substantial difference, you know?
Yeah.
I think someone else would have loved the guitar, and had you not really heard a difference, you never know. It was still a good guitar. But knowing what you were after, the second neck, no question, was the one.
Yeah, there's a thing with the Telecaster where it can sound a little bit on the plinky side, or it can sound plunky.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that on this guitar, even on the attack, when you're hitting the note, it has kind of a weight to
yeah.
it. Instead
yeah.
of just sounding like plink, it has a plunk to it.
Yeah. And these pickups, I don't know if you want to talk about the pickups.
Yeah, but talk about the pickups.
These are made by Dave Budinski at Bud's Pickups. And it's, I have a Dano 2.0 set, which is probably my most popular set. This set is based on sort of after we measured your 58. What year is yours?
57.
57, and mine's? Mine's a 57, 58. It's got a 57 serial number, you know, negative. Is yours have a negative serial number?
Yes, it does.
Yeah, interesting. And so I just wanted to make a more accurate set like that. And so we did, and I love it, and you love it.
Yeah.
Some guys have, after they've gotten it, have been like, it's too much twang, you know? And Dave's a vintage guy, and he likes it too. But I think a lot of customers kind of were looking for a little bit more of a bigger, ballsy type of, I mean, they still want the jangle and the attack of a Tele, but they're not quite ready for vintage twang, we'll say. And, but this is great. And with the right combination of wood, there's really something special to it. And so these pickups have that top end. The pickup itself
has got a nice soft top end, but it's a bit of top end, you know? Yeah. And so that's where the neck, just finding the right neck that that's not overly bright, you know, that's just got the right tone, it balances it out really good.
And before
and not going too light. You know, you had mentioned before that you wanted as light as you could, and I was like, well, it's not only is it getting harder and harder to find really light, but I don't necessarily love really light. And I think when you do go lighter and lighter, you do miss some kind of bottom end, you know? And like, I think when we hear our 257s, which are pretty similar, mine's much better. No, mine's bigger and ballsier.
Yes.
And yours is more twangy, which is perfect for me, and yours is perfect for you.
Yeah.
You know? And mine weighs well over a pound more. I mean, mine's probably high. I should weigh it, but maybe I'll go weigh it while we're doing something else. But mine's like, it's not 8 pounds, but it's over 7.5 for sure. And yours is...
It's 6.5.
Yeah, 6.5. So...
Yeah.
You know? So it definitely impacts the weight. And so I think the fact that this is in a... What do we say this is? Oh, this is about 6.5 though, isn't
it? Yeah, 6.4.
Yeah. Well, I take back everything I just said. It doesn't feel like this featherweight guitar. I'm so really surprised. We should double check my weight. But it just the balance of just a little bit of girth, a bigger neck, the right neck, and sort of a brighter, springier bridge pickup is a lot of life, you know. And it's one wrong component, and all of a sudden it's like, it's kind of thin. It's, you know, so it's really finding the right stuff. And I think we did it on this one.
And before people start contacting Buds, is he, you know.
Yeah, so he's slowing down a little bit. He's still making a lot of pickups, but, you know, you got guys like me and Mario Martin, and he's got a couple builders that he does custom wines for. And, you know, we're pretty easy. I'll be like, yeah, I'll take 8 of those and 10 of those. And that keeps him busy. Whereas when you're whining for the general public, you may spend an hour on the phone with someone talking about the difference between this set and that set. And then maybe they'll call you back next week and order one set, you know? Yeah. And as great as that is when you're building a business, you know, as he's kind of slowing down a little bit. Now, he's still, I don't think he has ideas to quit anytime soon, but I mean, we're keeping him about as busy as he can be. And you know, big orders that are just easy. It's a way easier thing for him to do. His pickups are still out there. We're all, you know, making a bunch of guitars with them. I think it's just a lot easier. So he's making them, but he's not really selling to the public.
Yeah. So mainly it's OEM at this point for
it's both. Mostly OEM. And the nice thing is because he's not overly worked with all these back orders, he's got a guy in Japan. He's got a couple dealers that, builders, not dealers, you know.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is I can still tweak stuff. Like we're tweaking a version of this because this 58, like we said, we always kind of worry that it's maybe a little bit too bright. He's got an idea. He's got an idea how he can make it, you know, still twang, but a little bit bigger and bolder. And he's got a bunch of stuff. He's got a pickup that he does for our buddy Bill Crook, who Bill says is the closest to a Peter Florence voodoo that he's ever heard. And he's tried a lot of things. And that's so, you know, he's always looking for. I think it keeps him wanting to experiment. He's not overwhelmed with, you know, single orders and stuff. So there's probably new stuff coming out from Dave too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
And allows me to tweak stuff.
One of the things that I've been kind of ignorant about is the importance of the twin pickup sound on a Tele. For me, I've always been kind of like, well, I either play on the bridge or I play on the neck.
Yeah, I'm kind of the same way.
But, you know, you build guitars that have great dual pickup sounds. And a lot of Teles can have a good neck pickup sound and a good bridge pickup. But then what is the secret to a good dual pickup sound?
So they don't all have that. I mean, and I would say not even all mine. It really depends on how you choose the pickups. So if you want like a big sort of beefier bridge pickup and a nice clear, you know, some people almost want like a strap, like clear neck position. That middle is usually not that great. The best way to get the middle is to have a pretty twangy bridge and to have a neck that has quite a bit of warmth, like a round. I mean, we obviously want clarity, and definitely some older ones are too warm for a lot of people, you know? But when you find that right combination was just warm enough and the bridge is pretty twangy, that's where you get a middle position that's really kind of like, I would use this. And I think this set does that probably as good as anything that I have.
It's a great dual pickup set. It's one of the best I've heard.
Yeah.
The other thing, of course...
You know, and interesting, you know, Leo at least at first didn't really even have the dual pickup thing.
Right.
It was, you know, which pickup do you want?
Yes.
So.
And this bridge pickup, just like a real, 58 pickup, it has the raised D and the raised G on there. Has some nice aging on there. Really great match for this guitar. Another thing we did was we did an eight screw pick guard because I just kind of like the look of a single ply that has the eight holes, and maybe that's more I guess that's 58, 59, somewhere in there when it comes along. But I really like the
and you don't get it pulling up. And here's a tip for everybody: a lot of guys say, "Hey, my guard is pulling up in the middle," and usually what it is, just loosen the screws. Oftentimes, like I'll set it up, and if you know, part of it is just getting it perfect. But as they are getting the placement perfect of the screws, but as they shrink over time, or you know, I don't know, does the original ones shrink a little bit? Yeah, but as they bow up over time or start flexing, you get that little rise in them. Often, just by loosening those screws, it lays flat again. Some guys use double side tape and other things to hold it down. But often I can just say, hey, just loosen those screws up and everything kind of goes back down. So if you've got one of the things that's pulling up, make sure your screws aren't overly tight and you may find the guard just lays flat again. So interesting. Yeah.
And I love these. There are a lot of little touches on this guitar that are really great. And one of the nice touches, besides, of course, you've got the Danocaster stamped, ashtray, of course, bent bridge. I love these knobs.
Yeah, that's Mark Rutter's knobs, actually. I've been getting a bunch of knobs from him.
And those look great because so many... It seems like it's easier to find good Blackguard knobs, too.
Yeah, it is. I mean, there's different heights of the Blackguard knobs. I just ordered a whole bunch of Blackguard knobs and had my wife, who really spends a lot of time aging the stuff, she went and aged probably 20 sets of Blackguard dome knobs, a shorter one. And then I went to go grab one yesterday and put it on. It's like, oh, these only fit on split shaft knobs. And we didn't find out until she did it on. So All Parts makes a short one that only fits on
split shaft.
I didn't know that till we spent all this time. So there's going to be a dozen tellies, that Blackguard tellies of mine, that I'll probably use split shaft and put the little copper sleeve over it. No, that won't work because that makes it a solid shaft.
What you could do is you could put them on strats. You could have some strats that have some...
I could.
Point being... Yeah,
part of it is the how big the knurl is and then that top lip.
Yes.
Like almost everybody, like a lot of people use the All Parts, you know, and they have almost no lip. Their knurl goes all the way to the top. And they look fine. I used to use them, and they're cheap, and they're fine. But the knurl's finer than Fender ever used, and that top lip, there's almost none. And so these are the standard 58, 59 Mark Rutters, and Mark does really amazing work. And he did some mid-60s ones, and I'm like, hey, could we do another one where the knurl, and I just showed him a picture, and he's like, yeah, we could do that. And so he just custom made some other knobs for me, so... He's a true machinist, you know. You can really do what you want. But those are my favorite shape of the barrels, you know.
Yeah.
Which is appropriate for like a 58, 59.
And these are compensated steel saddles. Are these the quarter, or are they the 516?
Those are the 516s. Yeah. The quarter
are a little more slinky, and they sound a little bit different. They're a little bit more Steve Cropper, you know, a little bit twangier maybe. I do use them sometime. Guthrie Trapp had an older Floyd guitar made by this guy Floyd, who used to work at Joe Glazer's, and it just had too much tension. But the neck pocket was nice and deep, and so I just did everything I could to sort of relieve the tension for him. He had two string trees. We got rid of one, and one of the things we did is I got some quarter-inch saddles as opposed to 5/16ths and put those in, and that helps too. So I like them both, but I mostly use 5/16ths. Almost all of my guitars have 5/16ths. So
this is something that we could do a whole episode on, and that's just the way that the neck pocket and how deeply it sits down in there. And then, of course, also how high, which that corresponds to how high these saddles have to be and the break angle that you end up getting.
Right.
It's like, I even had a telly that the holes were slightly off on how they were drilled for the bridge. And the saddles had to be so far back that the break angle was so severe that it was so tight. It felt terrible. And we ended up having to swap bodies on it.
Yeah,
the lower this goes, the lower these saddles can go to the base. And so the angle that they come through the body really affects, the steeper that angle is, the tighter it is. So mostly that comes into play if someone has sort of a shallow neck pocket. You have to raise these up quite a bit to get the right angle. And then it's a quite a sharp dive, and that's where it just feels tight. So often, if you have a real tight feeling telly, one thing you can do if you want to go through all that is have the neck pocket lowered, you know, so you can drop these down a bit. One thing that's kind of cool, at least on all the more modern ones, if you look at the back of this neck pocket, it is a dual loading.
On the bridge.
On the bridge. So if you wanted to see, you could always, instead of going down through the back, you could always come out the back here, which is they call a top loader. And what some guys do is some guys will be like, oh, well, I'm going to string these through and these I'll top load. You know, so you could just have just the top strings where you're bending the most and you want the least amount of tension. Have them just come through the back and you can experiment with that. Yeah.
So again, if you want to, on this guitar at least, or any bridge that's drilled for both, if you wanted to lower the tension, you could just use you could top load it.
Yeah.
And it's going to be easy, slinkier feel.
Or a combination of, like I said, just the plain strings could be top loaded.
Yeah.
Some guys say there's a change in sustain. You know, Fender did that around 1960 and didn't do it for very long. I think 1959, is that right?
Yeah.
And they didn't. I think they did it for like a year, so.
Yeah, and I've seen a couple, 60, 61 tellies that are drilled for both.
Yeah, for both.
Yeah, yeah, where you have where it goes through the body, but it has those holes on the back where they were using them up.
I used to do a top loader every once in a while, just to do something different. But this kind of fixes that. If anybody wants to experiment with it, most all of the new bridges have that. So.
Yeah, I may do a video where I.
You should
have this guitar and then
do it both ways.
Yeah, do it both ways, and that way you can kind of hear the difference. Or in the
do
same the guitar.
Do three strings and then do the other three. Like, you know what I mean? Do it halfway first, just for more work.
Just for more. Thanks, Dan.
Yeah.
And then you kind of use frets that are a little bit smaller than 6105s. And
yeah, this is a 6125. I mean, depending on who makes it, Jess Carr, the company is the only company that makes it. It's, I think they call it a 9547. So it's 95 wide, 47 high. And it's really like I believe that Joe Glazer was one of the ones who sort of requested that. I think he's the one who got them to do that. I'm not sure that's right, but I think that's right. But it kind of feels like a 6105 that has been dressed down a couple times. You know, it used to be when you'd get a guitar refretted with 6105s, they'd be, do you want us to take some height off it? You know, because they feel kind of high, railroad ties to a lot of guys, you know? And so this just kind of feels more worked in. It feels like a neck that's been dressed once or twice. So,
and then, and what radius do you tend to like?
I mean, I all of my guitars are 9.5.
Yeah.
I was just thinking recently about maybe doing a compound radius 7.25 to 9.5. That's Keith Urban's, was one of the last ones I did. I actually made that guitar for me. And then he wanted, this was years ago. I like a 7.25 radius for sort of cowboy chords, and I'm used to it because if you're used to vintage guitar, a 7.25, but it is a little bit weird when you're swapping out and grabbing a Gibson or doing different things. It's kind of more comfortable to have 9.5, and it allows for nicer bending. So the combination 7.25 down here, and as you get up to about here, it starts leveling out to 9.5. It's kind of a cool combination, but all of mine are 9.5, and it's kind of the most widely accepted. It's what most people want, you know.
And just to confirm, this is 9.5.
This is 9.5, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh no, you wanted 12, right?
I want Gibson radius.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's 9.5 all the way up.
All right. Well,
and 1.65 nut, which you're pretty particular about wanting 1 5/8. So I didn't realize it afterwards. I'm like, you know, I love this one, but I wonder if he's going to be like, the neck is too wide. Because it's a really subtle 1 5/8 versus 1.65. I mean, it's a really small difference. But on certain necks, they feel a 1.65 just, is it me or does this feel extra wide?
Yeah.
You know? And I run into that every once in a while. I do a guitar that's like, this neck feels extra wide. And you measure it, it's like, no, that's 1.65.
Yeah.
Sometimes on a bigger, fatter, deeper neck, like that has a lot of shoulder.
Yes.
It feels wider because you've got the shoulder kind of, you know, on a V, it doesn't really bother me at all. Yeah. But on like a big, clubby, round back, only on some, but every once in a while, 1.65 just feels, how wide is this thing, you know?
I have an R9 Les Paul that it just, and it was one that I got in 2008, and it just felt gigantic.
Yeah.
And I had our friend Jeff Sin reshaped the neck. And one of the big things he did was take off some of the shoulders. And that made such a big difference. Yeah. It's like as soon as you start rolling the edges and it just makes a huge difference.
Yeah. So some of the older necks, I have an old 345 that's a 1960, but it's a 59. It's all 59 spec. And it's the perfect neck to me. And it's not that big. So when you pick up some of the, like you always hear about the 59 neck is like the shape, you know? And I've had a bunch of old Gibson stuff. And a lot of those necks aren't as big as some of the more modern.
Right.
Some of the modern counterparts, they feel pretty clubby compared to some of the older ones, interestingly.
Yeah. All right, Dan. Well, thank you so much for letting us invade your home.
Yeah.
And, what a nice piece that you did.
Glad you love it.
Yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Peace.
Bye-bye. Thanks for listening to the Ask Zach podcast. If you want to dive deeper, check out my website, askzach.com, to find more articles and further info on each episode. And remember, it is the support from you, the listener, that keeps the show going. Thank you, friends.